everybody, I'm Joe. I have 25 years of dog training experience, and I am excited to share my knowledge and talk dogs. Let's get going.
Hey everybody, this is Rebecca with Dog Training 360, and I'm super psyched to talk every week with Joe, have great conversations, and talk everything dogs.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Dog Talk, and today we're going to talk about senior dogs. And this topic was triggered from a lesson of mine in they've got a puppy and they've got a senior old man. And the old man is, I'm there helping with their puppy and long time client. And so I'm back in her home just because she's a longtime client and needed some help with their new puppy. And she started asking me behavioral questions about senior dogs and their old man having, you know, some weird behavior stuff going on. And I felt like it was a good topic to talk about our senior dogs, where we all the time, you know, oh, we need to get help with the puppy, and the puppy sees the vet, and the puppy, we take the puppy and we do the puppy, and the puppy this and the puppy that. And then when they become senior, you don't really know what's normal, what's okay. Behaviorally, they'll change. How do you know when it's time to say goodbye? And the conversation went like this. And I think, Rebecca, you can give a little bit of insight in this with Mr. Austin, who went through, you know, some behavioral changes too as a senior. Not all senior dogs do, but there definitely is a shift in some. And so she says, you know, we were all out of the house this weekend. Not unusual, but, you know, we were gone longer than normal helping my daughter move, and it was a little bit of a chaos. And he's usually fine. And we came home, and he had dug at the pantry door, and to the point that he got it open, and he literally strung food out of the pantry all over the house.
Wow.
And they were alarmed and shocked and sad and not, you know, like, is he being naughty? What's going on? And so that was the question, like, you know, what is that? And, you know, for me, knowing them, knowing the dog, he lost his female partner that he had a couple of years ago. And he, you know, he'll stand and bark until somebody comes and gets him. His female dog, you know, she kind of took care of him, if you will, from the get-go. When I trained them as puppies, he was, you know, she always took care of him, and she was kind of bossy with him. And so he's lost, and he also, you know, is the beginnings of some dementia, Alzheimer's type behavior in dogs. And, you know, I said, well, he was, you know, the longest he's been left alone since his partner died. And food, just like for us, is a comfort thing. It's a survival thing. If I have food, then I'm going to be okay. And you know, I don't know, but I'm guessing that he just felt like he needed to make sure that he could survive, because he was barking and nobody came for him. And he just didn't know what else to do but to make sure that he had food, because that's how we survive. And she said, you know, you need to do something about, you know, educating people on senior dogs and senior behavior and all of that. And so that's what triggered this podcast, of just talking about our senior dogs, and that you can pull in a dog trainer to help with some of these senior behaviors. We're not going to modify behavior. We're not going to change, but I believe, as a dog trainer for myself and all the experience that I have, that I can help you, guide you into making sure that your senior dog is comfortable, and maybe, you know, even safe, if you will. And so, Rebecca, let's talk a little bit about Austin and his senior journey and what he went through, because he definitely started isolating himself.
Yeah,
if I remember.
Very interesting and very subtle in some ways, mm-hmm. especially now that I'm looking back at it retrospectively.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, wow, that was pretty subtle. But Austin was one of my rescue dogs, and we've talked about him a lot on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But he had quite a journey and went through a lot of reactivity, and finally got himself to a place, or we together got ourselves to a place where he had a pretty good life. Mm-hmm. In as long as I set certain boundaries around what he was able to do in terms of be out and about. I could take him out and about, and we could have successful adventures together. And he loved being at home. He loved people. He loved being with us. And we lived, at the time of his senior years, we lived in Eastern Washington, Eastern Upstate Washington, up Eastern. Yeah. Eastern Washington, upstate, on 14 acres. He had a lot of area to roam, and he loved being there. And suddenly, it was pretty sudden. It was just like he was fine, and then he just started isolating himself, exactly like you say. Like, he had previously always wanted to be right where we were, and then we had Oxford as a youngster then. He was about one. Actually, Oxford was two, and had recently adopted Mocha, so she was a new puppy in the household. So that, I think part of my mind was like, okay, he's, you know, Austin is trying to distance himself from all of this, but Mocha, even when Mocha was in her crate and taking a nap and not around him, I would suddenly say, "Where's Austin?" And he was upstairs, typically, in a room that no one used. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even like he was going to our room or my sister-in-law's room, who lived with us at the time. He was going to just this random room that was a guest room, and he would just be in there by himself.
Yeah.
And so that was one of his behaviors. And he did that more and more and more and more for sometimes kind of hours at a time. Mm-hmm. And it was disturbing to me, because I felt like, well, I don't want to force him to be, you know, if that's where he wants to be, I'm not going to, you know, drag him down to be in the living room with us. But then at the same time, I'm like, what is he, you know, how is that good for him to be just totally isolated from the pack? And then he also, like you mentioned with this other dog today, started just barking and barking and barking and barking in random times that made no sense. And he certainly, in his journey with me, went through periods of time where he would bark at things, and we had to do some behavior modification around barking at different times in his younger life. But this senior barking definitely had the feel of, like you described earlier, like dementia. Like, he just didn't know where he was or what was going on or what he needed. And it seemed it was painful to experience from my perspective, because I couldn't help him.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, there's nothing, you know, medically that you can do, you know, when everything's fine, other than, you know, and it's a, you know, relating back to, you know, the seniors in our life and the caregivers, you know, it's that same, you know, they go into a different space and time, and you support and make sure they're safe, you know, making sure that Austin's not falling down the stairs, and making sure that he knows that, you know, he's safe and he's fine, and, you know, but also, you know, recognizing that, you know, sometimes the stress is that they don't feel safe, and that maybe we need to shift things around and help them be safe, like allowing Austin to be in that room because that's where he felt safe, because that's where he chose to be versus being around. But also, you know, understanding dog behavior, animal behavior, as the animals become seniors, in as if human beings were not around and they lived in their families, the seniors would start to isolate and relieve themselves of some duties within the pack. You know, that I'm no longer going to care for the youngins, and I can't go out hunting to feed us. And so they start distancing themselves, and then it's their safe way of just, you know, quietly saying goodbye when they start to do that. And And, you know, her question of, you know, how do I know it's time? Is he under stress? Is he, and I just had to say, you just have to stay connected enough to know when the time is right for him to say goodbye, not for you, because there's never the time for us. There, it's never like we don't want to let them go. We'll keep doing everything that we possibly can selfishly. And it's such a short time that we have with our dogs that we don't want to make that decision. We don't want to have to say goodbye. So we have to be in tune enough with them for them to say, you know, I'm tired and I'm done, because we have the capabilities of keeping them alive longer than maybe necessarily we should.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Having actually euthanized three different dogs, mm-hmm. One of them was with illness, and the other two, Austin and his pack mate Hannah, my first German Shepherd, I euthanized both for old age, and I think the comment that you made is the thing that sticks with me the most, is finding the time that's right for your dog, mm-hmm. instead of like really trying to find that balance, because you're never ready. I have never been ready.
Yeah. Me either.
But the flip side of that is I'm so grateful that we have the, you know, ability to euthanize our animals, mm-hmm. instead of, mm-hmm. force them to live out old age, yeah. the way we do our humans.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And that I feel really, really good in my heart, mm-hmm. that I recognized it for both Hannah and Austin.
Yeah.
And they didn't live a day longer than was right for them.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, obviously I can't 100% prove that, but I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that peace within myself that I didn't hold on to them for myself, and that they didn't suffer.
And I've had clients that have said, you know, I should have let him go a year ago. And I just kept pushing because I didn't want to let go. And they regret it now. Like they don't feel at peace with it like you should. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never had anybody say, I let him go too soon. They weren't ready. You know, I've never had that. It's either I'm very much so at peace, it was time for them to go, or that I should have let them go sooner. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I've, you know, just even recently, you know, she kept pushing. She kept having somebody come walk him, and he could only like barely make it down the stairs. And I finally had to say to her, I'm like, he's done. Maybe not done, euthanized, done, but he's done with this chapter for him. And that he needs to just rest. He needs to have more sleep. He needs to just be and let him be. And once I told her that, she finally like stopped having somebody come, and he kind of forced her into making that decision to say goodbye. Like, I'm really done. I'm just keeping doing this because this is what you have me do. And so I think it's okay to close the chapter for, you know, our dogs as they shift into their senior life, where, you know, maybe it's not the walk, you know, the 5-mile walk, but maybe it's, you know, go sit in the grass and spend that time with them, just hanging out and being in the sun with them, you know, change the picture. It's that, you know, be okay to move to the next chapter with them and stop forcing them to be, you know, their young self, and allow that. And I think that, you know, they would be happier and less stressed and less worried that they have to keep pushing on for us, and that we can give them that permission to just like, hey, let's just go out and have a nice drink and water and lay on the grass together and just, you know, listen to the birds chirp and just be, you know, and that's just as good as going for that 5-mile walk with them. And And when you start seeing behavioral stuff in your dogs, you know, one, if they're going to be comfortable, like Austin chose that bedroom, like that's where he felt safe, that's where he wanted to be, you know, whether it had anything to do with the young dogs in the house or not, I would say probably not, because he was very didn't want to miss out on anything kind of guy. Mm-hmm. That it was just like, you know, you guys are safe, I'm going to be here, I'm safe, I don't want the responsibility of raising these two children, you know, like that's not my responsibility anymore. And you allowed him to have that chapter. And when you see, you know, maybe stressful things, you know, like this dog digging in and getting into the pantry and being so stressed when they got home, that maybe he needs to be put in like some kind of pen with some food and water and things and a nice bed, so that he feels secure and safe, and that you're safe in the den and that we'll be back for you type of feel. And when they get in those where you feel like they're stressed or they're worried, it's our responsibility to find something that helps them. And sometimes that's going back into the crate as seniors. Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel safe here. This is my den. This is my space. And that those things help change their meal times. Maybe instead of feeding them twice a day, you're going to feed them four times a day, so that they feel like that they don't have to worry about that piece. There's plenty of food for them. And so, you know, think about, you know, how we can make them and our, you know, our seniors feel comfortable. Sometimes it just shifts where they just don't want to walk on the hardwood floors anymore. It's too scary. It's too much, that now you're going to have to put runners down and give them a path to go on, so that they're not being stressed and their eyes aren't as good as they used to, and their legs are unsteady, and or maybe they've fallen on the floor and they don't want to be. So now they're, you know, hesitant everywhere they go. And instead of just saying, oh, you're old and you're, you know, you're just going to have to work it out, it's okay to kind of coddle them through that and help them feel safe or feel less stressed in their senior time. And I truly believe that, you know, if you have a senior dog and you've got some behavior stuff going on, you know, reach out and ask, you know, a trainer, and, you know, old age is not an excuse, just like puppyhood is not an excuse for bad behavior. There's things that you can do to help all of that. And so I, you know, just because you have a senior dog doesn't mean that you don't need some advice from a behavior specialist or a trainer to maybe help support that dog into their senior year a little bit easier and a little bit better. And know that, you know, every dog is different and they're going to react differently. And, you know, we're available, you know, send us a message. You know, we'd love to hear your questions or, you know, stories about your senior dogs, and maybe, you know, we can help give you some ideas and tips to help them feel safe and be okay in through that time, for sure. Rebecca, what would be your final thoughts to somebody having a senior dog and saying goodbye, or just going into the journey of a senior dog?
My thoughts are, you know, every dog is different, mm-hmm. and every relationship between dogs and humans are different. And so have a keen eye on your dog and watch for subtleties. And just like you said earlier, Joe, you know, when changes will start to happen, mm-hmm. whether it physical changes, and like you said, you know, they can't see or hear very mm-hmm. well anymore, or they can't walk as well on slippery floors, or their hips hurt them, they are obviously in pain, or whether it's like we described with Austin, just sort of interesting shifts in their behavior. Mm-hmm. And so keep a keen eye on those changes as your dog becomes a senior, and think about how you need to shift your routines and your dog's routines to help them stay happy and comfortable.
I like it. The Dog Training 360 way. It's not just online dog training videos. When you subscribe to our course subscription, you receive access to get coached twice a week by professional, well-educated dog trainers of 25 plus years. You also get to take part of a private Facebook community where you get private training content, grooming, and nutritional tips, and an amazing community of dog-loving people. You also receive access to all of our dog training courses. Join us today at www.dogtraining360.com.